Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Continuing with our in-depth study of the nine processes of pure devotional service. And we have been looking at Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Sakyam. And we will continue with Sakyam. And so we looked at Dasham. We're going to continue with Dasham. We haven't done Sakyam and Abhinavedanam, but we looked at Dasham, which in essence includes all the others. But there are two basic varieties of that which we will look at today. So, just summarising that this dasham, of course, some of the main symptoms is that one is free from material desires, false ego, false proprietorship, and they're qualified to always feel themselves to be the eternal servant of the Lord. And they surrender everything, their bodies, their minds, their intelligence, their senses, their speech, constantly worshipping the Supreme Lord. And they know how to serve the Lord, by dovetailing in pure devotional service all their religious duties, such as their wealth, lust, their family, relatives, their home. Everything is nicely dovetailed. They don't have any impediments created or separation between their pure devotional service or interruptions because of other duties. They're all perfectly engaged. Everything is done in the mood of being the eternal servant of the Personality of Godhead. So these are a summary of that.
So that includes the material obligations also?
Right? That's right, yeah. So that, whereas one who is not fully fixed in dasham, as Bhaktivinoda calls, says, he says, you know, they're so-called material duties, because really for a pure devotee there are no material duties, but the so-called material duties, one who's not in that mood of dasham, within their consciousness it's like an interruption between devotional service and other things they have to do. Yeah, so that's not there in dasham. Yeah. So today we're going to concentrate on that along and see how far we get as well. We may even get to Sakyam. So one of the things that really strikes me about dasham, the beauty of dasham, is it just, one who's really fixed up in that consciousness, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and that never leaves their consciousness. That in itself is, they don't have to do anything else. that in itself is a complete service. They may not appear to be doing the other process, they may appear not to be doing any of the other nine processes of devotional service, but it is a complete service. But to do that, it you know, can't be imitated. So, and of course, a lot of these things, I guess, you're hearing for the first time. Yeah. So, because. You know, that should be the you know, one of the qualities of doing, you know, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Shastri. There really should be quite a good, you know, well-rounded, proper understanding. Not that we just cover the verses and learn the slokas, you know. And and as we read a couple of times during that last session, that Srila Prabhupada also associated the verse of Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mamcha Yovya Vicharina Bhakti Yogina Sevati Sagunan Samatita Dicha Chan Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. With that, Dasya stage, which he considers, you know, that is the liberated stage, you know, constantly liberated. Properly liberated, remaining liberated, and that means, you know, one who engages in pure devotional service and who does not fall down, you know, and Prabhupada paraphrases that. So there's no stoppage; it's continuous. There's always something in Krishna. That, and of course. You know, there are two sides to that, in that if one is fully fixed in that mood, then even though one may not be doing other of the nine processes of devotional service, one is actually completely fully engaged in devotional service by just being in that mentality. However, as Prabhupada, you know, also presents it, one who is in that mood of darshan is also, you know, when there are services to be done, they're always constantly engaged. They're always, you know, distributing books and, you know, doing deity worship and doing so many, you know, hearing and chanting and so many different things like that. So when the opportunity is there, they take it. But sometimes they're just literally absorbed in that mood of darshan itself. And you know, Srila Prabhupada also states this in one of his lectures on this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says in his lecture that dasyam means to work as a menial servant of the Lord. So we're going to look at Sakyam as well, where more so than the mood of menial servant, there is a confidentiality, a friendship, a quality like that. So that does distinguish Dasyam. So although in Sakyam also so many different devotional services similarly may be done, but more on a friendly, even equal platform with the Lord, more confidential. And Prabhupada also mentions liberated, of course, means that free from sinful, the sinful result and action of life. So it means that naturally for us that means that one is fully fixed in the four regular principles and avoiding the 10 offences. And we also heard some quotes from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, how he was quoting that, you know, this mood of dasyam is concomitant with one's ability to perceive the spiritual master as not different from Krishna. Very important point, because you know, dasyam does not mean that we jump over the spiritual master and assume that because we're engaged in always engaged in Krishna's service, then somehow we've you know, there's a direct contact with Krishna, jumping over or leaving aside the spiritual master. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's emphasis on dasyam is to bring it back to the spiritual master. So dasyam, as we know, is the mood of serving Krishna, but that mood of serving Krishna is concomitant or solidified that one is the servant of the spiritual master. That's how it actually manifests. Without that, it is a false platform of dasyam. It's an important point. and he describes actually that mood of dasyam without unshakable faith in the personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, that mood of dasyam will not manifest in one's heart. Now, I'll just read this morning walk conversation just to conclude. You know, again, Srila Prabhupada speaking some important points on this. So this is in Bombay, 1974. So he's speaking about Shraddha, you know, and Sarusanga, Bhajanikriya. So he says, then Nishta, then he has got a firm conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and my duty is to serve Krishna. This is called Nishta. Then Ruchi, he increases taste, then he cannot go out. I mean, he cannot leave his home. He cannot go out of this jurisdiction. Just like these boys, they've come from Europe, America, India. They are attached. Otherwise, I am not giving them a bribe. I have no money. Why are they attached to serve me anyway? If I say that you die, he will die. Why this attachment? This is development of Krishna consciousness. Ruchi Shakti Tato Bhava. Then Bhava. So, as you can see there, Srila Prabhupada is speaking of a Shakti, that these disciples, his followers, he's saying, you see a Shakti in them. They're fully attached. They're prepared to die for Prabhupada. Some did. That is Shakti, that is the liberated stage, as we mentioned in 14:26. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. You know, one who's always engaged in both services does not fall down. They're just always engaged. And therefore, you know, he's equating this, as in that start of this paragraph, he says, then he has got a firm conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and my duty is to serve Krishna. So he's saying Nishta and then Ruchi and Shakti. So, you know, you can see that he is equating to some degree with the devotees who are fully attached to serving Prabhupada, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and not ever going out of that consciousness. You know, that level of a Shakti, which is, you know, in one sense synonymous, at least with the beginning of that, you know, proper state of mind called Dasya.
So you're saying that this state of Nishta is
Dasya? More a Shakti.
Oh, more.
Yeah, so he's saying that Nishta, so the firm conviction is there, and then he describes the Shakti after that. So Nishta, it is the beginning of it, mm-hmm. but a Shakti is considered where they're properly liberated. A Shakti is, you know, that a Shakti is called, that's where the attachment does not waver. So it is there in Nishta, but it is properly there, fixed up in a Shakti. Because, you know, they're not falling down from that platform. See? Full attachment. So between Nishta and a Shakti, so it may, you know, Nishta, we can say, okay, it is beginning to manifest a little bit. Properly it's there in a Shakti. And then he says, Ruchi, Shakti, Tato, Baba, then Baba. Baba means Krishna consciousness fully developed, then love is actually exhibited. Then, let me serve Krishna in this way, in that way, that way, that way, you see, fully engaged. You know, a Shakti, we may, you know, equate with Bhagavad Gita 14:26, but of course, full-fledged manifestation of, you know, this being the servant of Krishna, of course, is Prema Bhakti. But a Shakti is really, you know, a Shakti is sort of on the threshold. It's on the threshold of Bhava, and Bhava is considered, you know, Krishna consciousness is fully developed. On the platform of Prema Bhakti, one is actually, you know, also relishing rasa. So this is the process. You cannot say that, let my love be stagnant in my heart. There is no exhibition. No. There must be exhibition. That is a symptom of love. Otherwise, why Rupa Goswami resigned from his ministership? He gave up everything. Jagvatanam asesha mandala pati shanim sadatu chava. The question is, how they lived? Then, Gopi Baba, Rishamritali, Lahari Kalola Magnon Siddha. They were fully absorbed in the thought of how Krishna and his pastimes with these gopis. He was always absorbed. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo Shijiva Gopalako. This is exhibition. When one becomes ecstatic, oh, now I have to do something for Krishna. Then he renounces everything. Only Krishna's business, that is the test. What is the use of spiritual advancement? Spiritual advancement means these material things given up. As soon as one develops real bhakti, he will be averse to all these material things. That is the first sign. Just like if you are hungry, and if you are given some food, if you are satisfied, then the same food will be denied by you. No, 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 I don't want any more. Full satisfaction. Just like Dhruva Maharaj said, Samin kitato smi varam na. It's here. When he fully became perfect and Narayan was present before him, he asked him, what benediction you want, you take. He said, Swamin kitato smi. Simply by seeing you, by your presence, I am fully satisfied. I don't want any benediction. That is bhakti, no more demand. Whatever by Krishna's grace comes, that's all right. And not comes, it doesn't matter. Otherwise, how can one be how one can be satisfied in any condition of life unless there is bhakti? That is the test. The test is that he has got something. Yam lava chaparam labham manyate narikam tataha. If he actually achieves Krishna, then he does not think that anything better than this, that I see amongst these European and American boys and girls. They have seen it, that it is better than our so-called material life. Therefore, they have been able to give up. Just like this boy, Giriraj, he is a very rich man's son. His father gave him a special car. His father is a big lawyer in Chicago, so he gave up everything. These are the tests. Hare Krishna. Then all the good qualities will be manifest in his person, and if one is not a perfect devotee of Krishna, then he cannot possess any mahadguna. Why? He is simply hovering in the mental plane. He is not fixed up. That cannot be done unless one is fully situated in unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. Mental plane is not secure. Anyone who is in mental plane, he may fall down at any moment. So we have to transcend the mental plane, intellectual plane, jnana kamarjana britam anya bilasita sunyam anukulyena krishna anu shilanam bhakti uttama. This is bhakti, simply to abide by the orders of Krishna, fully engaged. So nice lecture there, Prabhupada, equating, one fixed up in service of Krishna, not on the mental plane. If one is on the mental plane, one may, fall from that platform. But the real test that one is situated in that dasya state is one doesn't fall back down to material enjoyments. Just giving up, material pleasures and also profit, adoration and distinction. Otherwise, Prabhupada is saying everything can be tested, everyone can, not that we do a little bit of service and we make a claim that, yes, yeah, I'm doing this dasyam, like that. The real test of this shakti, being fully attached to the spiritual platform, and which is, the platform of this dasya mentality, that I'm the eternal servant of the Lord, is that one always remains, you know, firmly fixed up on that platform, and no one can imitate that, because if one is just, if that dasya platform is just mental platform, they're not actually on a shakti, they may be more on nishta. Nishta can be a little bit still on the mental platform to some small degree, but it does mean that they will hover, you know, go a little bit backwards and forwards. They're predominantly fixed up, you know, about 65, you know, 60-40, like that. So it's predominantly nishta. But, you know, there's the 35-40% that we have to worry about. So, shakti is right, you know, that's fixed up properly, fully attached. And that is... So everything can be tested. No one can, you know, but you know, Srila Prabhupada, as you see in a couple of times during his lectures, you know, he's pointing out that he sees these qualifications in his followers. Of course, we do see that many of his followers. Disciples, grand disciples, have tasted that platform of a shakti, and then also, you know, boiling away from it. So, you know, it's as we see with the life of Bilva Mangala Thakur, even on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, it is possible to, you know, fall down until one comes to Prema Bhakti, and there's no falling down. But even on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, it is possible. But it doesn't mean that just because that they have perhaps fallen away, that they weren't, you know, significantly on that platform of a shakti and experience, and that just, you know, in the mood of dasya, you know, that I'm just the servant of Krishna and that's the only thing in their consciousness. You know, they're on that platform for, you know, long periods of time. You know, it has to be, you know, maintained sort of over many years. But even then, it is possible that they may, you know, fall away from that. You know, so that's possible. but we'll look at the two different types of dasya as well, because that helps to explain those who do not fall from that platform. All right. Now, in Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati the cause Sakriya Sri Gauri Kantaha, he describes, he quotes verses from Srimad Bhagavatam describing the different branches of dasya. This one is from 11th canto, chapter 19, verses 21 to 22. My devotees take great care and respect in rendering me service, offering obeisances with all their bodily limbs, and above all, worshipping my devotees. So again, as Srila Bhakti quoted, that dasya doesn't mean that we're just considering ourselves worship the servant of Krishna, but they highly prize the opportunity to worship Krishna's devotees. They see all living beings as related to me, for they are engaged the entire energy of their bodies. They use their words to describe my qualities. They offer their minds to me, and they reject all material desires. They are my, thus are my devotees characterized. So, in the the notes to the VTE notes to Bhakti Shastri when we're studying Nectar Devotion. some people think that we don't do the VTE study, but we've always done the VTE study. Some people think that we have followed something different, but we follow both. We followed from the very beginning of Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava and Bhakti Vedanta. We followed both VTE and Mayapur Institute from the very beginning. And so this is also from the notes of VTE. Servitorship, two kinds of devotees. Those attached to Varnasram, who offer the fruits of the prescribed duties to Krishna. This is not accepted as pure devotion. And the second one is the Bhagavats, Bhagavatas, who offer direct service to Krishna, which is one of the nine angas of bhakti. And this is pure devotion. They are jivan mukta, or liberated in this life. So, if we look at in Nectar Devotion, Chapter 6, one of the items, item 27. Or if you take it out of the list of 64, it's item 47. One should render some voluntary service. Now, there are some nice explanations on this in the Ways of Devotion, chapter 11. Ways of Devotion, who did that? That's, what's that? Dhanuda. So it's a nice compliment to help us understand. So, there it describes there are two aspects of servitorship. Kamarpanam, offering one's activities to the Lord, and Kainkaryam, serving in the mood of a personal attendant. The Skanda Purana elaborately describes the first aspect, and that we see on Nectar Devotion, page 95. And the Naradiya Purana briefly describes the second aspect, which we see on Nectar Devotion, page 96. So, Ways of Devotion goes on to say, offering kamarpanam, the first one, offering one's activities to the Lord. Kamarpanam, offering one's activities to the Lord, has two divisions. Offering the fruits of one's prescribed duties in Varnasram, and offering direct service within the nine main processes of devotional service. Some teachers accept both subdivisions as bona fide forms of servitorship in sadhana bhakti. Our acharyas, however, do not. Pure devotional service must be free from work for fruitive desires. Therefore, our acharyas do not accept the fruits of our prescribed duties as a bona fide item of sadhana bhakti. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary to Brahma Samhita, text 61, supports this. He says that offering our activities in Varnasram is known as Gona Dharma, subsidiary devotional activity. Such activities are not directly bhakti, although they may be indirectly conducive to devotional service. Lord Krishna confirms the same point in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.23 as explained in the BBT commentary on this verse. Ordinary work performed as an offering to God without desire for the result is understood to be in the mode of goodness, whereas activities of devotion, such as chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, are transcendental forms of work beyond the modes of nature. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the opinion of the karmis, fruitive workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava acharyas like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. That his quote, Prabhupada, is quite, that's from Nectar Devotion, page 95. So now we'll read this quote from Nectar Devotion, chapter 11, the aspects of transcendental service, servitorship, kamarpanam, the same first division. In the Skanda Purana, it is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities, the four orders of social life and the four orders of spiritual life, are considered devotees. But when devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas or pure devotees. Now, waves of devotion. It describes there how Srila Prabhupada reconciles the two opinions. And again, this is quoted from Nectar Devotion, page 95. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual life are not actually pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the result to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. When one has no such desire but acts spontaneously out of love of God, such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. So I'll go back to the Nectar Devotion, chapter 11. The conditioned souls who have come into contact with the material world are more or less desirous of lording it over material nature. The system of Varnashram and the prescribed duties under this system are so designed that the conditioned soul may enjoy in the material world according to his desire for sense gratification and at the same time gradually become elevated to spiritual understanding. Under these prescribed duties of Varna and Ashram, there are many activities which belong to devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those devotees who are householders accept Vedic ritualistic performances as well as the prescribed duties of devotional service because both are meant for satisfying Krishna. When householder devotees perform some Vedic ritualistic duties, they do so to satisfy Krishna. As we have previously discussed, any activity aiming at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami describes one who is fit for becoming engaged in devotional service. He says that persons who are neophytes and who have developed a little love of Godhead are not interested in the activities of sense gratification in proportion to their devotion. But if there is still some attraction for sense gratifying activities, then the result of such activities should be offered to Krishna. This is also called engagement in the service of the Lord, with the Lord as the master and the worker as the servant. So, as you see there, Srila Prabhupada therefore is equating those who may be dovetailing some of their activities which constitute their material propensities, they're dovetailing those, but for the pleasure of Krishna in a way that's pleasing Krishna. So it places them in the category of neophyte devotees. Not, 100% pure devotees. But as neophyte devotees, they're considering Krishna the master and them to be the servant, and therefore it is, you know, an aspect in one sense of dasyam. So and you know, so this kamapanam, as you remember, we're discussing there are two aspects of servitorship, so we'll just keep it in context. There's kamapanam and there's kainkaram. Is that, am I saying that wrong? Yeah, you say it. Kainkaryam. So, and the first one, kamapanam, has 2 points. So we're discussing those 2 points, two aspects of the first one. Offering, and that is, we've discussed so far that offering the fruits of one's prescribed duties in Varnashram. So they can be neophyte devotees. And the second one, which we will look at, is offering direct service within the 9 main processes of devotional service. So, as we're discussing here, some teachers accept both those subdivisions as bona fide forms of servitorship in sadhana bhakti. Our acharyas do not. So our acharyas favour the second one, you know, offering direct service within the 9 main processes of devotional service, as over any influence of Varnashram. So the neophyte devotees, Kanishta Adhikaris, as we've seen, you know, with the definition of dasyam, you know, in all the quotes we've seen so far, Srila Prabhupada is equating it with such verses as Bhagavad Gita 14:26, you know, one who is engaged in pure devotional service, who does not fall down, and is equating it with, you know, Nishta, you know, especially as Shakti, and you know that you know, one is fully fixed up on the transcendental platform. So that's how all the different quotes we've seen so far. Whereas, you know, here, one who performs their activities, you know, dovetailing activities of Varnashram, is more a very neophyte platform, which is usually not even considered Nishta. You know, it's way before Nishta. It's sort of you know, it can even, you know, that platform can even go back to Shraddha, you know, or even sometimes, you know, Shraddha, a little bit of Salu Sangha. So let's have a look now. So this verse that we're discussing from Nectar Devotion, it's actually from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, that's 1-183. And this is what the verse says. Dasyam is defined as offering the results of prescribed duties and acting as a menial servant of the Lord. And in brackets, there is a footnote saying that this dasya is distinct from the dasya stayi baba and dasha rasa that appear after sadhana bhakti, though they're related. And here is Jiva Goswami's commentary to this. He says, offering the results of prescribed varnashram actions, kamapanam, is considered to, by some to be dasham. However, Rupa Goswami's opinion is that only kainkaryam, acting as the menial servant of the Lord, is considered dasham. One should identify oneself as the servant of the Lord. It is said in Itihasa Sumuchaya, one who has the attitude of being the servant of Vasudeva for thousands of births can deliver all people. Sridhar Vipra also states it in the Bhagavatam. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.36. Life after life, may I have love, friendship, sympathy and service. Dasham. The dasham mentioned by Sridhar means being in the position of a servant, according to Sridhar Swami. This service is kainkaryam. This service as kainkaryam means to perform actions of service with respect for the authority of the Lord. There is no real difference between this dasha and paricharya, service, another anga in its pure form. And then if we look at the next verse, Bhakti Visamrita Sindhu 1.2.184, the first type, offering prescribed duties, is described in the Skanda Purana. Quote, prescribed duties according to one's nature offered to the Lord become Bhagavatam. What to speak then of actions of bhakti dedicated to the Lord alone? And Jiva Goswami's commentary, he says, this is an example of offering prescribed actions being a type of dasha. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, the cause commentary, he says that even varnashram actions, karma svabhavikam, offered to the Lord become Bhagavatam. What to speak then of actions for the Lord, such as hearing and chanting? And then this verse here from Bhakti Visamrita Sindhu is 1.2.185. There are two categories of this Varnashram Dasham offered by the Vaishnavas to Krishna. Offering the auspicious among the prescribed actions according to one's nature, and offering only actions such as japa, meditation and deity worship. So now here's Jiva Goswami's commentary to that verse. There are two types of offering obligatory actions in Varnashram. Svabhavikam here means those impressions attained from previous lives which give one a particular identity in the Varnashram system. Among those actions prescribed by that identity, only those that are auspicious are offered to the Lord and not others. As an example, such as cleaning oneself with earth after passing nature. As well as japa and other spiritual actions, which are part of Varnashram activities, they are offered to the Lord. If the Vaishnavas offer these two types of actions to Krishna, they are called dasham. And verse 186, some persons say that this offering of duties by a person with weak faith in bhakti and a slight qualification for prescribed duties is called dasya. And Jiva Goswami's commentary that says, actually japa and meditation are considered angas of pure bhakti, even without offering them after performance. However, offering the auspicious items among the prescribed duties are not angas of bhakti. Therefore, the author does not approve the first type of offering mentioned in the previous verse. That is stated in this verse. Some people call this offering with weak faith dasyam. This is a summary description of the first type of offering mentioned in verse 185. However, this is very different from the offerings of real dasya mentioned in the following verse. And he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. These are in effect the real dasya, those activities there.
What's the difference between the two categories mentioned in 1 to 185?
Just hold that question. Mention in 1 to 185, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll come back. I'll just read this last little quote by Vishwanath Chakravarti, the core, on 186. Since it has already been stated that pure bhakti should not be covered by jnana or karma, this type of dasya cannot be accepted as ultima bhakti. This type of person has weak faith. That means the person lacks firm faith that by bhakti to the Lord alone, everything is accomplished. So, you know, very nice point there being made that our acharyas accept that those devotees who can actually be said to be performing dasya will be engaged in the 9 different processes of devotional service as items of and they understand that by performing any of those activities of the 9 different processes of pure devotional service in the mood of the eternal servant of Krishna, that everything is complete. There's no need to engage in other activities according to the Varnashram. Banishram Dham. That, in other words, just like Srila Prabhupada's opening the temple in Vrindavan. There are many prescribed duties for opening a temple which are mentioned, and within the scriptures for the various persons, the brahmanas and so many different persons establishing a temple for the worship. Prabhupada considered that, if we just do Harinam Kirtan, then, there's no need for other things to be done, although they're prescribed in the scriptures for within the, those who have weak faith or not strong, let's put it that way, those who don't have full faith in the holy name, they may think that other things may need to be done. So for instance, if we sit down to do, say, a ceremony, a samskara, a fire jagya or something like that. So, some people are saying, so-and-so has to face the east and, someone has to be on the west and, like this, some things like that. For devotees, I just sit down, as long as everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, then they don't care where they're sitting, as long as they got a spot, like that, you see. So there are, they understand that everything is properly fulfilled by just engaging in those activities of Shravana Kirtanam. Other aspects which are, mentioned within the Varnashram, there are so many different rules and regulations, they don't necessarily have to be done,
But like you said, opening a temple in Vrindavan, but that's not strictly speaking one of the 9 processes of devotional service.
That's Padasevanam. Padasevanam, you know, making temples for the Lord and things, yeah. And then making gardens in the temples and, yeah. Padasavan. So, yeah, so, you know, there are many, I come across it a lot because, you know, doing the samskaras, it's been very helpful, actually, you know, doing those samskaras because I learn a lot from the Hindu community, the different things that they like to do. And sometimes I also see that, you know, there is sometimes very, very weak faith in, you know, the process of the holy name and, you know, worshipping, you know, the shalagram that may be present, offering obeisances and offering the prayers and reading the Gita, hearing and chanting like that. And the weak faith is there. But, you know, they will place a lot of attention on you know, they don't know all the different items of Varnashram. In fact, they usually just know one out of thousands, one or two out of thousands, you know, that they got to tie the string on the hand and, you know, they have to sit in a certain direction. And there's usually just two or three things that they do know, you know. And sometimes they've got them wrong anyway. And, you know, from their perspective, that must be done. They don't even care if you chant. They don't care if you worship the shalagram. They don't care if you read the Gita. As long as they sit facing east and they've got the string on their hand, then the main thing is there, you know. And they have to have the coconut pot and things like that, you know. I always put the coconut pot there. Because, you know, you can establish the Lord in the coconut pot, see? But if the shalagram is there, then he's there, you know. So you don't, you know. But I put it there because they need that. I need to see it there. So so you know, there's a lot of different. But although when they're doing those activities, they want to please Krishna. You know, that is their motive. You know, they actually want to please Krishna. They have some faith in Krishna. You know, as a servant, because you want to do Krishna. So they're doing that. But it's not actually darshan. That's what it's saying. Darshan is really one, you know, when the devotee is really just, they just have full faith. One should be very careful, just as like when Srila Prabhupada, you know, opened the Vrindavan temple, he may have performed activities, rules and regulations according to the Varnashram and Brahman and so many things like that for the benefit of others with weaker faith. Now, that doesn't mean that Prabhupada is engaged in a Karmakanda or, you know, or Varnashram. Okay? It is something I get accused of on a weekly basis. Yeah. But, you know, but we just have to put up with that until sometimes it takes about 20, 30 years for people to catch up to some of these things. But... So we have to understand the distinctions, but we always act according to the Gita that we try not to disturb others' minds. And sometimes if it, you know, induces a sense, if it makes them more feel closer to Krishna and thinking of Krishna more, we don't want to do anything that drives them away from Krishna. So, you know, if they, sometimes if people insist on something, as long as it's not, you know, creating some offence or creating the eighth offence of the, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, then, you know, I would just do that as Prabhupada did, you know, for some of the Brahmanas in Vrindavan. But it doesn't mean that for, you know, for preaching purposes, because we're doing it, that we are somehow engaged, you know, on the Karmakanda or the Varnashram, you know, platform. So we have to understand this distinction, even though sometimes we may be doing that for the purpose of preaching. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yep.
Not the first one, though, where we have two different categories for dasing.
Yeah, so we're looking at the two divisions of the first type of dasyam. Yeah. And properly, one is pure devotional sutra. One is, this is where it takes up here. Ways of devotion takes up from where we've left off here. That in the first type of servership, kamapanam, one performs direct devotional service. In the second type of servitorship, kainkariyam, one performs direct devotional service in the mood of the Lord's personal attendant. So,
then what's the difference between the second one of kamapanam and kainkariyam?
Yeah. So we said there are the kamapanam has two divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Offering of the fruits, prescribed duties in Varnasram, which the acharyas reject. Some accept it, but in our line we don't. So that's one division. So really, for us, properly, kamapanam really has one division that we accept. Because the other division we don't accept. But and that is offering direct service within the main process of devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is the second division, and that is the one we accept.
Yeah.
So and that is, as we read in that lecture that morning walk by Prabhupada,
mm-hmm.
He's seeing his disciples do that. They're engaged in dasyam. Like that. They have full faith in the nine processes of devotional service, and they don't go out of that jurisdiction. Like that. And because they're remaining on that platform, not falling down, and they've become detached, like, you know, he quoted Giriraj, you know, his father tried to bribe him with so many no, I'm not interested. See? So they're fixed up, they're on the transcendental platform. So that is the first type, and that is mentioned, what Prabhupada is describing in here. His lecture, that he sees that within his disciples. So then, now we're going to look at kainkariyam, serving in the mood of a personal attendant. So in the second type of the servership, kainkariyam, one performs direct devotional service in the mood of the Lord's personal attendant. The distinction lies in the attitude of the performer, not in the activities themselves. Keep that in mind as we go through this. Even if one engages in the nine processes of direct devotional service, his activity is kamapanam unless he serves with deep concentration in the mood of a personal attendant of the Lord. Quoting from the famous verse from Naradiya Purana, Srila Rupa Goswami describes this mood of tireless endeavour to serve Krishna with body, mind and words. And this, we're going to look at quotes from Prabhupada from Lecture Devotion, page 96, rather than 95. Kankariyam, so this is from Lecture Devotion. In the Naradiya Purana, there is a statement of how this servitorship is transcendental. It is said there that a person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by his body, mind and words, or even a person who is not practically engaged but is simply desiring to be so, is considered to be liberated. Yeah, Waves of Devotion adds this. This illustrates what it means to be a devotee in kainkariyam. One constantly engages everything, body, mind and words, in the Lord's personal service. And Jaivadharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda mentions this. Again, quoting this 47th point from Nectar Devotion, that dasya, devotional service in servitude, is of two kinds, kamapan, offering the results of one's fruit of activities, and kainkariya, to be constantly engaged in the service of the deity with body, mind and words. That's an interesting... Yeah. the deity, the Lord, who of course the Lord is non different from the deity. Going back to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so first way, chapter 2, now verse 187. The second type of darshan is illustrated in the Naradiya Purana. He who has the desire to serve the Lord with actions, mind and words in this world is called a liberated jiva in all circumstances. And Jiva Goswami's commentary, the author indicates his own opinion with a glorification of this type of darshan. Ihadashe here means having the desire for servitude. One should have the desire, I am your servant. So, to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaja Leela, chapter 8, text 139 in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says this. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 12187, this is the verse, Rupa Goswami says, Iha yashe hare dashe kamana manasagira nikalasvyap yavastasu jiva muktasu uchite. When a person in this material world desires only to serve Krishna with love and devotion, he is liberated even though functioning within this material world. A very famous verse by Rupa Goswami. In the BTE Prabhupada quotes, here's a quote from, so we did this in Bhakti Shastri, you probably remember that. You probably remember this quote off the top of your head. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, a lecture from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1, given by Prabhupada 1976, discussing Jiva Mukta. From the very beginning, devotional service is transcendental. Iha yasha hare dashe. If you simply desire to serve Krishna, that's the beginning of existential purification immediately. Iha yasha hare dashe kamana manasa vacha. Simply, if you sincerely think, how shall I serve Krishna? Krishna does not mean simply Krishna. Krishna means Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's quality, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's association, everything in connection with Krishna. Nirbandhe Krishna Sambandha. That's a nice quote from Prabhupada, because there he's explaining that from the very beginning, you know, sometimes, like, you know, there we look at, you know, the we had in Prabhupada's lecture, he mentioned Giriraj. Now, let me just go back to when he gave that lecture. That was 1974. Okay. Now, how many years do you think Giriraj had been a devotee in 1974? And Prabhupada, you know, maybe half a dozen or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure when he joined, but, you know, it's probably half a dozen years or something. So that's from the very beginning, Prabhupada's quoting him, you know, someone who's fixed up in devotional service. See? So, if devotees manifest these symptoms from the very beginning, they come to Krishna consciousness and they think, I only want to serve Krishna. That's it. Everything else finished. And they stay on that platform, then, you know, Prabhupada attributes this transcendental. He's not saying that they're neophytes, you know, dovetailing Varnasrama. No. They have full faith in the nine processes of devotional service. So it's a very nice lecture there. So not that only, you know, devotees who have been around for 30, 40, 50 years or something. You know. Here's another quote by Srila Prabhupada. This one's from the third canto, so it's not a lecture, but it's actually the purport from the third canto, verse 27, text number 13. And again, this is from the VTE Bhakti Shastri quotes about Jiva Mukta. By the understanding of the pure soul called Satchidrik, one can see everything as a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A concrete example can be given in this connection. A conditioned soul sees a very beautiful rose and he thinks that the nice aromatic flower should be used for his own sense gratification. This is one kind of vision. A liberated soul, however, sees the same flower as a reflection of the Supreme Lord. He thinks this beautiful flower is made possible by the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it belongs to the Supreme Lord and should be utilized in his service. These are two kinds of vision. The conditioned soul sees the flower for his own enjoyment, and the devotee sees the flower as an object to be used in the service of the Lord. In the same way, one can see the reflection of the Supreme Lord in one's own senses, mind and body, in everything. With that correct vision, one can engage everything in the service of the Lord. It is stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one who has engaged everything, his vital energy, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words in the service of the Lord, or who desires to engage all these in the service of the Lord, no matter how he is situated, is to be considered a liberated soul or Satchidrik. Such a man has understood things as they are. So the Prabhupada is actually paraphrasing this text from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 187. So you see that, for instance, you know, sometimes devotees become ill and they can't do anything. I remember when I had the viral meningitis, and it just about killed me. And I was so ill that Srimurti was feeding me with a teaspoon, some soup. I could manage a few mouthfuls. I had no more energy than that. And to force me to eat a few mouthfuls of soup with teaspoon, otherwise I couldn't feed myself. You know, I was laying there thinking, you know, I have so many services to do, but I can't do anything, and I was lamenting. And anyway, Srimati put on the DVDs, or you know, the videos of Prabhupada's. You know, sort of like the history of Prabhupada as told through the different devotees, and they're describing what he was doing. They're actually giving commentary on all the footage of Prabhupada. So it takes a few days to actually watch them. And I just watched them over and over again. And I was just appreciating what Srila Prabhupada was doing. But, you know, I was thinking while I was laying there that, you know, my understanding was that even watching these, just watching the devotees doing service, although I can't do anything, Krishna accepts that. I understood that, that Krishna will fully accept that, although I can't do anything at all. I can just literally, I can lay there with my eyes open and that's and watch other devotees serve, but you know, with the desire that, oh, I'd love to be there, Prabhupada, I'd love to be doing that, you know. So, so that, you know, that, again, you know, when that mood of dasya is there, there's always service to do, because one can always desire to do service. You know, so sometimes, you know, again, you know, when you have the festivals and some devotees come in, they think, oh, there's no service for me to do. You see, but that's an impossibility, you know, on the transcendental platform, because if you just desire, oh, that devotee's doing such nice service, you know, one day I might do that service, you get the same result, you know, like that. If it isn't, you know, and that's who asked me that question the other week about if you just you did, you know, you mentioned that if someone just watches the arti, they get the same result. But you know, there is some qualification to that. They really, you know, if they have that desire, you know, I would love to be serving Krishna with love and devotion, you know, as that. If they're thinking, I wish everyone could see me up on the altar doing that, that is a that's a different thing. That devotee is getting so much attention. You know, oh, they'll be on the Facebook. You know, I somehow need to manoeuvre around to. There's the camera person over there. You know, that's not what it meant. So really, you can see how easy it is to be fully satisfied as a devotee. You know, just like. You know, you may see that someone is in you know, doing, you know, different, all sorts of different wonderful services. And you may appreciate the service that they're doing and you know, have a desire, you know. Yes, it'd be very nice to serve the Lord, you know, with love and devotion without any motivation, just like that devotee's doing. Then you actually get that, that's actually dasya, even though that's all you're doing. So this verse, here's another purport. This one's from the this is not the VTE one, but you know, I saw it and thought it's also very good, very apt. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 4.29.65, from the purport. If the mind is purified by Krishna consciousness, one will naturally, in the future, get a body that is spiritual and full of Krishna consciousness. Such a body is our original form, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms. Jivera svarupa hoya krishnera nityadas. That's very important. He's quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 20, verse number 108. Every living entity is constitutionally an eternal servant of Krishna. If a person is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he is to be considered a liberated soul even in this life, as confirmed by Rupa Goswami. Iha yasha hare dasya kama namana sagira nikala shapya vasatsu. Jiva Mukta Su Uchate, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187, one who engages in the transcendental service of the Lord in body, mind and words is to be considered liberated in all conditions of material existence. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. So this is a very important statement of Srila Prabhupada. You know, literally the Krishna consciousness, even the term Krishna consciousness, you know, is based upon this very famous verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He said, Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We must teach people to absorb themselves always in the service of the Lord, because that position is their natural position. One who is always serving the Lord is to be considered already liberated, and that is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. And again, tying again the same verse, as you see Prabhupada consistently quoting that verse, Bhagavad Gita 14:26, with this position of dasa. And Prabhupada goes on in his purport, one who is, who always, so therefore that verse of Bhagavad Gita 14:26 is also the principle of this Krishna consciousness movement. One who always engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service at once transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. The devotee is therefore above the three modes of material nature and is even transcendental to the Brahmana platform. A Brahmana may be infected by the two basic modes, namely Rajaguna and Tamaguna, but a pure devotee who is free from all material desires experienced on the mental platform and who is also free from empiric philosophical speculation or fruit of activity is always above material condition and is always liberated. So again, sometimes devotees may, you know, having been initiated as a brahmana, which is considered nishta, platform of bhakti, but some, you know, may, you know, from nishta generally we go up, but sometimes they can also wave a little bit backwards. If they wave a little bit backwards, it means identifying more as a brahmana than Nitya Krishna does. A couple of other verses I found here you might find fascinating. Here's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:46. Simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, fragrant oils, clothes and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer the illusory energy. So, you know, that's really the all our activities in Krishna consciousness. And I just one last quote here, which I found. This is Canto 3. This is a lecture Srila Prabhupada gave, 1974. There are nine angas. Anga means different varieties. They are the same. Spiritually, they are the same. Spiritually absolute, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam. Either you hear or you chant or you memorize or you offer worship, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, or you simply work under the direction of your spiritual master or Krishna. Just like Hanuman, he, Dasyam, he simply carried out Lord Ramchandra's order. He was supposed to be an animal. He's not an animal. But he was looking like a monkey animal, but having no education. He had everything. No, he had everything. But superficially, he is not teaching Vedanta. He's simply carrying order of Lord Ramchandra, that's all. He appears to be very foolish. Not foolish, but superficially animal. He was simply carrying out Dasyam. Arjuna. Simply, he took Krishna as his most intimate friend, that's all. He was not a Vedantist. He was a fighter. He was a Kshatriya. He had to deal with politics. No time to become Vedantist. But still, he is the greatest devotee. Bhaktosi priyosi min. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, you are my very dear friend and devotee. So people may say, oh, he's not a Vedantist. He's not even a Brahmana. He's not a sannyasi. How Krishna accepts him as Bhaktosi. That is called bhakti. Bhakti is ahoitaki apadiyata. If you become a devotee, there is no impediment. No material condition can check your progress in bhakti if you are a bhakta. So the very nice application there of dasya, that, you know, there are devotees who, you know, they don't necessarily become scholarly and study the scriptures. You know, they don't study Bhagavad Gita much. They, you know, a little bit, or Srimad Bhagavatam. They may not become Brahmana and do Archanam, like that. But if they just fully fixed up in serving the spiritual master, then that is a dasham. It's a very elevated platform, if they're on that platform. So, you know, as you see there, again, Srila Prabhupada showing us that these nine different processes of devotional service, although generally they're consecutive, but they also have, you know, according to the particular candidate, some are more appealing to them or more appropriate to their, you know, situation. So there's no impediment. In a lot of Prabhupada's discussions, you know, Prabhupada was always in the mood that, so, you know, basically everyone can join this Krishna consciousness movement and do activities which are considered to be, you know, very elevated and pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, we may see disqualification in many different ways, but Srila Prabhupada, you know, would apply one of these nine different processes. Or you can just do Shravanam, you know, you can just remember, you can do Dasyam, like this. So again, Dasyam, Sakyam and Atmanvedanam are considered to be generally the activities of the nine different processes of devotional service, which are generally performed by very elevated devotees and even acharyas. But at the same time, there is a general application that devotees can take up pure devotional service in these different activities, because it's more suitable to them than other activities. Right. And now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his Sri Gauri Kantaha, he then offers this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Majjalila, text 22, verse 16. This is the prayer of the servant of the Lord. So this is a typical prayer. Kamalinam katina kadida palita dune deshas desham ditamayena karunana tapanapa shanti Prasidjaitannata yidupate sampatam lambda buddhish tamayata saranam habayam mam yun kshvatma dashe. And Prabhupada mentions in his purport that this verse is actually quoted. It's quoted in the Bhakti Rishamrita Sindhu. And the verse is, O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And now I come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. And in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are saying, Hare, O energy of the Lord, O my Lord Krishna. In this way, we are simply addressing the Lord and his spiritual potency, represented as Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, or Lakshmi Narayan. The devotee always prays to the Lord and his internal energy, consort, so that he may be engaged in their transcendental loving service. When the conditioned soul attains his real spiritual energy and fully surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet, he tries to engage in the Lord's service. This is the real constitutional position of the living entity. And again, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Majjalila chapter 17, verses 103 to 104. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, those who are devoid of a service attitude and don't wish to call themselves Krishna Das have little good fortune. The Lord will never accept them as his servants. Govinda. Let those who would be liberated from material bondage accept the service of Krishna. So, in Prabhupada's purport, Dasharati is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.27 thus. When the Supreme Lord in his localized aspect is appreciated and a great devotee understands his subordinate position, not only does he surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but due to his subordinate position, he wishes to render some service and thus become favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee in Santarati is not very much willing to render service to the Lord, but a devotee in Dasharati voluntarily wants to render service. Due to this attitude, the devotee in Dasharati realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead more fully than a devotee in Shantarati. He considers the Lord to be a worshipable object, and thus this means that his attachment for the Lord increases. Thus, Dasharati is characterized as bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti anyatracha. That's from the 11th canto. In other words, on the Dasharati platform, a devotee is attached to rendering service to the Lord and he is detached from material activities. Santarati is neither material nor spiritual, but Dasharati is actually on the spiritual platform. There is no attachment for material things on the spiritual platform. Virakti anyatracha. A devotee in Dasharati has no attachment for anything but Krishna's service. So, a very important quote there about the Dasya mood is that there are a lot of devotees of Krishna, Narayan, Ram, and they appreciate the Personality of Godhead, and they may appreciate him that he's not different from the Super Soul, but they don't have an attachment to serve him. And this statement here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita you know, in Prabhupada's purport, you know, there can be elements of attachment to the Lord in shanti, rati, in one sense. But it's neither material nor spiritual. But one who, you know, has attachment to the Lord and a desire to serve the Lord, that person comes to the properly just a spiritual platform. So therefore you see the role, how important it is service. The service attitude takes us from the platform of being situated on the material platform and yet a devotee of the Lord, to, you know, being a devotee of the Lord but situated fully on the transcendental platform. So that service attitude is what brings us to that. So it's a very, very important aspect. And, you know, so we see, you know, there are thousands of people come to the temple and they're all devotees of Krishna. But then we have to learn to distinguish, and you see that if you want to know, so then of the thousands and thousands of people who come to the temples, who is transcendental and who is on the material platform? And those who actually develop that desire, they go beyond just appreciating the Lord and desire to engage in this devotional service. That's what pushes one onto that spiritual platform properly and fully. Otherwise, if one is detached from the material world and appreciates the Lord but not engaged in devotional service, they're sort of in between. But if one is, you know, appreciates the personality of Godhead but engages in a lot of material activities, you know, within the Varnashram or, you know, religious duties and what have you, they may actually be, you know, predominantly still on the material platform. Now, you know, just to clarify that, I'm going to read a little excerpt from the introduction of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada very quickly describes the transition of the from Santa, you know, Dasya, Sakya, etc. He says, one, the five stages of reciprocation, he calls this. One, the self-realization stage, just after liberation from material bondage, is called Santa or neutral stage. So when we talk about Santa, one may have an appreciation of the Lord, but one is not really situated, you know, on Santa Rati unless one is also completely detached from material life. See, so it's actually, you know, the self-realization must be there for it to actually be properly situated. You say that is a Shanta Bhakta. That means that person is fully detached from the material world and they appreciate the Lord, but they're not engaged in devotional service. That's very rare. We wouldn't call the thousands of, you know, congregational members that come to devotion, come to the temples, Santa Bhaktas, because they're not really detached from the material world. But they do have an appreciation, so they're more Kanishta. So now, two, after that stage, right, that neutral Santa stage, when there's development of transcendental knowledge of the Lord's internal opulences, the devotee engages himself in the Dasya stage. So there's a nice statement there about this Dasya stage, that there is a development of transcendental knowledge of the Lord's internal opulences. So another distinction that helps us understand properly this second category, especially of dasya, where there's especially the transcendental mood. So, as we saw, the distinction between the first category that we accept of dasya, where one is engaged in, they have faith in the nine different processes of devotional service, and they're engaged like that as the servant of the Lord. The second category are doing the same thing, same activities, but the internal Krishna consciousness is more distinguished by being more advanced in its mood and understanding and intensity. And here's part of the understanding, a distinctive understanding, that the transcendental knowledge of the Lord's internal potencies is there, one coming to the dasya stage. By further development of the dasya stage, a respectful fraternity of the Lord develops. We'll come to that later. And above that, feeling of friendship on equal terms manifests and becomes manifest. So there's a respectful friendship, and then there's friendship on equal terms. Both these stages are called Sakya stage, or devotional service and friendship. Above this is the stage of paternal affection toward the Lord, and this is called Vatsalya. And above this stage is conjugal love. And this stage is called the higher stage of love of God, although there is no difference in quality in any of the above stages. The last stage of conjugal love is called the Madhurya stage. So there's no difference in the qualities, and yet it's called the highest. And that is because all the qualities of all the stages are manifest within Madhurya Ras. Whereas in Santa Ras, it has certain qualities, but it doesn't have the same qualities that they're in Dasya Ras, etc., etc. But in Madhurya Ras, all the qualities of all the other rasas are there, so therefore it is the highest. So,
Prabhu, you were saying
mm-hmm.
the person who's doing this, there are some people who may be wanting to do service but may not have scholarly knowledge.
Yes.
So then these people, they know about the Lord through the heart. Because you said they have a knowledge of the internal potency of the Lord. So then they are not scholarly, so then they get the knowledge through the service. So the Lord within the heart reveals to them.
Yeah. So personality.
They're not scholarly.
Yeah.
So like the other Brahmana who was crying when reading Bhagavad Gita, so he was illiterate.
Yeah, personality, that's right, and personalities like Arjun and Hanuman, they have a very elevated transcendental realization of the Lord's transcendental opulences.
Yeah. But then you know how in spiritual world also we have devotees who are in shankaras with the Lord?
Yeah.
And how are they different from the ones that we have in Jiva?
Yeah, it's a mutual relationship that they may exist as the trees or grass or cows, they're always able to appreciate the presence of the personality of Godhead, and and relish his glories. So they're always in Krishna consciousness. They never forget Krishna in his personal form. They're attached to the personal form of the Lord. They're in the spiritual world, but they're attached to the personal form of the Lord. As Bhagavan. The yogis, they're attached to the Paramatma feature. Mystic potencies of the Lord. So.
But then you're saying that people who are in Shantanas, they're neither material nor spiritual, so then how do they get to go to the spiritual world?
Then they have to develop attachment and love for the personal form of the Lord, Bhagavan feature.
But doesn't that become devotional service then?
Yeah.
So then they don't remain in Shantaras, then they move on from there, right? They progress spiritually.
No, they can be in Shantaras in the spiritual world. But that would be different to the Shanta of the yogis, who have not developed love and attachment for the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. So, that love and devotion to the... some devotees can attain Vaikuntha and their love and devotion and attachment to the Bhagavan feature of the Lord is there, although compared to other rasas, it is not as thick or, not as intense. If it were more intense, more thick, then dasya would be there, and gradually up to conjugal rasa, which is, very thick, very intense. So, that attachment to the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, the personality of Godhead, love and pure love, and appreciation is there, but it may not be as thick and intense as what is required for dasya. And
Prabhu, great devotees who pray, "O Lord, may I please be a blade of grass in Vrindavan, and so that I have the lotus feet of your devotees like the gopis or..." They are actually praying for pure devotional service. So in that means in the actual world, they're not going to be in sandals, they're going to be directly service of the Lord. But they're praying out of humility to be in that sort of service.
Yeah.
My always concept was that people in the spiritual world who are dasyas, that it is just a humble nature that they want to do that.
I was thinking
of his service.
Well, for instance, Uddhava is praying to be just, a creeper, he understands the great opportunity to relish the conjugal partner. Pastimes of Krishna, to be able to witness those activities, those loving pastimes. So
they may pray anything, but they...
You know, he wants to be a creeper in Krishna Loka, not by Kunta.
So he wants to be?
He wants to be like
a
creeper, but in Krishna Loka.
Yeah. Isn't that Santaras then?
In the association of in Krishna Loka, you know, in the association of Krishna and the gopis.
So that is not Santaras?
No.
Then what is that actually?
Well, you know, he's
not deciding a sort of material relationship
with the Lord, but I thought that is still still quite high, because you want to serve the Lord and His devotees constantly. Yeah. You know, just like some of Krishna's friends, you know, they sometimes Krishna's pastimes with his gopis, some of Krishna's friends are part of those pastimes, you know, they help Krishna you know, Krishna wants to tax the gopis or something, and then some of his friends are assisting. So they're not, you know, they're in Sakya Ras, but they're assisting Krishna in his conjugal pastimes, you know. So Uddhava also has a very close, you know, friendship with Krishna. Not Santaras. He has a very close friendship with Krishna, but he also, you know, assisted Krishna by, you know, delivering message to the gopis and then taking that message back to Krishna. So, you know, he was sort of literally participating in the gopi, in that conjugal rasa of Krishna. So, you know, therefore he was able to, you know, relish it by assisting as a friend. So, you know, he's relishing. But so he is in Sakya Rasa, but still, you know, all of the different residents of the spiritual world are assisting Krishna in his conjugal pastimes. But they still remain in their own rasa. But Uddhava has a very friendly relationship, very with Krishna.
So then you say that even Santaras in Krishna Loka is actually Sakya, little higher. It's not just Sakya, equivalent to Santaras in the material world. There's huge difference.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're Santa Bhakta in Krishna Loka, then you may be one of the trees, you know, where Krishna is enjoying his conjugal pastimes with the gopis, whereas if you're in Santarasya in Vaikuntha, you may be, you know, every now and then, you know, you're sort of, you know, you're always feeling the presence of Lord Narayan, like that. And if you're in Santarasya, you know, as a yogi, you're appreciating the presence of the Super Soul, you know, in his activities within the... his potencies within the material world. So, you know, there are different grades of... but when, you know, when there is attachment for Bhagavan, then... but one is not taking up that quality of always being engaged in the service of the Lord, you know, in that way, then it remains Santa. You know, and there are different levels, from the yogis to the, you know, Vaikuntha to the Dwarka to Krishna Loka, Prajavas, like that. But here, you know, this this quote here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is particularly important because that mood of dasya, of servitude, takes one to the spiritual platform. So, for instance, the yogis, they don't have that santa, they don't have that dasya, that mood that I will engage in the personal service of the Lord. they're appreciating his yogic powers and what have you. So, if they take up the devotional service, they will elevate themselves to the purely spiritual transcendental position. And but those, you know, in the spiritual realm, they are appreciating Krishna and his devotees, you know, who are engaged in his devotional service. The yogis, the materialists, are not appreciating the devotional service of the devotees and the Lord. And the yogis, they may not also appreciate the service of the devotees in relationship to Bhagavan, because they may be thinking that they're, you know, these devotees are not doing yoga. You know, these devotees are not engaged in the Ashtanga yoga process. So somehow they're not very advanced. So they're not appreciating. The materialists are not appreciating because they think, what is this waste of time? The yogis are not appreciating. They're thinking, you know, they're not very advanced. They're doing something, but we're doing the real yoga. But, you know, in Vaikuntha, they may be in Santa Ras, but still they appreciate the transcendental position of the Lord and his devotees. So, you know, there is a difference there. So the dasya mood can take the materialist to the spiritual platform, and it can take the yogis to the spiritual platform. But the santa rasa of those, you know, who are eligible for Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka, they're already on the spiritual platform. I'll read this. This may clarify. This is from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 1. The teachings, and this is from the teachings of Rupa Goswami. The transcendental rasas or relationships can be divided into five. The initial stage is called santarati, wherein one who is liberated from material contamination appreciates the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who attains this stage does not exactly engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, for this is a neutral stage. In the second stage, which is called dasyarati, a person appreciates his position as being everlastingly subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and he understands that he is eternally dependent on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Person. At the same time, there is an awakening of natural affection, such as is felt by a son who grows up and begins to appreciate his father's benedictions. At this stage, the living entity wants to serve the Supreme Lord instead of serving Maya or illusion. So you see here that Santa Rati, they're liberated from the material condition. That's one. So there's two qualifications. One, they're detached from the material world. Second qualification, they appreciate the glories of the Lord. They're attached to the Lord. But they're not exactly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. You know, we have heard that you can do services in relationship to the Lord, but they're not exactly dasya. You know, the Kamaras are an interesting, you know, category, because they were considered impersonalists. We know that they have their own sampradaya. They later become pure devotees of the Lord. But as impersonalists, they're actually engaged in a lot of things we might assume to be devotional service, because they were distributing transcendental knowledge. That's what they've always done, isn't it? But so in other words, you know, one can be distributing transcendental knowledge, but in order to fulfill the one's position within the Varnasrama as sannyasis, or those in the renounced order of life, or to help others, you know, the sannyasis, grihasthas, and what have you, distributing that knowledge for the benefit of all the ashrams. But it may not necessarily be dasya. They actually later became pure devotees of the Lord. And of course we know that then now that they actually distribute, you know, the pure devotional knowledge of bhakti as, you know, as a mood of, you know, service to the personality of Godhead. So therefore Prabhupada says, you know, it's interesting how he says that, you know, on the Santa platform, then they do not exactly engage in the service. So it can be something like that. They're still, you know, they may be doing many things which we think, oh, that seems to be service to the Lord. But it depends upon the, you know, that mood of, you know, whether there's doing it for the sake of establishing Varnasrama for themselves or the world like that. But, you know, so that's a different thing. So now there are many that yogis can be on that platform. So, and as we've discussed, there are living entities who are attached to Bhagavan, not just the super soul. And there is the element of pure devotional service is there, especially because of their attachment to the Lord and Bhagavan and his devotees who are engaged in his service. The santarati of the yogis, they may not necessarily be attached to Bhagavan or the activities of his servants. They may therefore not necessarily qualified for Vaikuntha. So they, as trees in Vaikuntha, they enjoy watching the Lord being served by his different, you know, they appreciate that. The yogis may not, have that attachment yet for Bhagavan or his devotees engaged in his service. They're not eligible for Vaikuntha. So, now this Dasyarati, they understand they're eternally subordinate to the Lord, very important part of Dasya. Subordinate, therefore eternally dependent on his causeless mercy. And along with that, there's this awakening of affection, like a son for the father. And at this stage, a living entity wants to serve the Supreme Lord instead of serving Maya. Now, if that awakens, what the Nectar Devotion is saying, that even in this world, that person is completely liberated. So, again, Srila Prabhupada so, you know, some of these quotes, referring also to the nectar devotion, where it's describing, as you see, the nectar devotion is describing the five rasas. And yet, as we see that when we're discussing these quotes from nectar devotion describing the five rasas, like dasya, they are describing them also in terms of this principle of, you know, one of the items of nine devotional service, that, you know, this conversation of dasya ras, you know, it does begin. You can have that discussion when, you know, one is changing from the material platform to the spiritual platform. of course, you know, one may question that, how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is encouraging us to, that we have an opportunity, you can actually, you know, attain Madhurya Rasa, almost inviting, encouraging, and that is because Madhurya Rasa has all the qualities of all the other rasas, and there's no question of attaining Madhurya Rasa if one hasn't even got to Santa, detached from the material world and attached to the spiritual platform, and there's no question of Madhurya Rasa if one hasn't considered oneself, you know, some affection to the Lord in a mood of service. So Madhurya Rasa, they're serving the Lord, but in a particular mood. You know, that mood of service is there, you see. So when we're talking about rasa, we go back to this point where, you know, the question of ever attaining Madhurya Rasa or any rasa, there has to be first come to the platform of Santa, that you're detached from this world and you're attached to the Lord. And really, if we're coming from that position as a yogi or a materialist, we will not be situated on the pure spiritual platform until dasya actually predominates. Now, but as you know in the discussion, it is possible that one can attain you know, the prema bhakti on the santa platform, where one must at least be attached to Bhagavan and the devotees of Bhagavan in, you know, to attain Vaikuntha and appreciate the Lord and his devotees. If one is just attached to the Vishnu form, then that may not be enough to attain Vaikuntha. So at least, so, you know, Santa, you know, is, but generally speaking, especially for those who are taking up Lord Chaitanya's invitation to join with Krishna in his pastimes, even up to the conjugal pastimes, there must be dasya. Must be dasya. Conjugal means it has all the qualities of Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya. It has all those qualities, so it must be. So therefore this conversation is very important for someone. And for us, really, you know, coming from the material platform and attaining the transcendental platform, it is the dasya mood that we develop that takes us onto the purely permanent transcendental platform. So that's very, so dasya has a very important role. And also for the yogis who are liberated in one sense, but not out of the material world, not quite fit yet for Vaikuntha, you know, they also generally should, you know, better to take up the dasya as well. minimum, at least, santa, which means at least attached to Bhagavan and his pure devotees. Now, this dasya ras because we're talking about this dasya ras in terms of how it relates to taking us from the material platform onto the spiritual platform, but the dasya ras itself on that spiritual platform does have two categories. And in Srila Prabhupada's purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, dasya ras or dasya bhakti ras is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3, 2, 3 and 4 as follows. When according to his desires the living entity develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this beginning stage of love is called dasya bhakti ras. So really, properly speaking, for Vaishnavas, especially in our line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is really our beginning. We don't really want the beginning. We don't want anything less than that, you know. And dasya bhakti ras. And dasya bhakti ras is divided into two categories called Sambrahma dasya and Gaurava dasya. In Sambrahma dasya, the devotee renders respectful service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So very respectful. But in the more advanced Gaurava dasya, his service takes the form of giving protection to the Lord. There's still a servant, but there's a protective mode to that service. So, again, just, you know, explaining that principle of, for, you know, which really relates to us, and that is, you know, this principle, we want to become transcendentally situated as servants of the Lord. And that service attitude, as Prabhupada said, service attitude is everything. That service attitude, when we're fixed up in that within our heart, with, you know, when it says knowledge of the transcendental opulences of the Lord means knowledge of Bhagavan. The yogis may not have that. And and we want to understand how that service, being fixed up in pure devotional service, takes us onto the spiritual platform and helps us elevate from there. And this is this discussion here. So it sort of relates to us. So again, from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and this is also from the teachings to Rupa Goswami, it's the same. The word sama means controlling the mind and keeping it from being diverted in various ways by fixing it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one's mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord, he is known to be situated on the sama platform. On that platform, the devotee understands that Krishna is the basic principle behind everything that is within one's experience. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. So you see here that verse, Bhagavad Gita 7:19, that is an important step in one's consciousness that one must develop in order to first of all take Krishna as the background of everything. There's no question of coming to, you know, elevating to Santa or Dasya without that. And this prayer also, taking our mind from the material, putting it on the spiritual, very reminiscent of that verse that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quoted from the 11th canto about, you know, what is the prayer of the Dasya Patta. So then, such a person can understand that Krishna is present in everything and is distributed all over the cosmic manifestation. Although everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord and is situated in his energy, everything is nonetheless different from Krishna in his personal form. So we see that in the 7th chapter there are descriptions that Krishna describes, you can see me, you know, that's where he mentions only the taste of water and, you know, so many different things like that. One devotee, I think Sudhir Krishna, asked me, what's the difference between, why did Krishna explain so many things, I am this, I am that, in the 7th chapter and then repeat it again in the 10th. And you see here that what Krishna is doing in the 7th chapter is particularly helping a devotee understand that in that chapter, yes, I'm situated within everything, but you understand that I am Bhagavan, I am also, as it says, I'm different, my personal form is also different. So he does that. We see in the 10th chapter, he again describes, I am this, I am that, I am situated everywhere. And he is describing that basically nothing is above me, because anything that we see to be wonderful and glorious in this world is just simply a small manifestation of my glories. How can there be anything superior to me? So it is also stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one who understands this, whose intelligence is fixed on Krishna, has attained the platform of Sama. Now, Sama is one of the qualities of Santa, Santa Rati. That's why we're describing this. Moreover, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Samo Manishtata Buddhe, unless one is elevated to the platform of Santa Rati, he cannot be fixed in the knowledge of the greatness of Krishna, or of the diffusion of his different energies, which are the cause of all manifestations. The same point is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.36. Stability of mind can be achieved by one who has concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of everything. And when one can control his senses, that is called Sama. When one is ready to tolerate all kinds of sufferings in order to control the senses and keep his mind steady, thank you, that is called Tatiksha or tolerance. And when one can control the urges of the tongue and genitals, that is called Dritti. From Dritti, one becomes Dhira, pacified. A pacified person is never disturbed by the urges of the tongue and the genitals. If one can fix his mind on Krishna without deviation, he can attain a steadfast position in Krishna consciousness, Santaras. When one attains Santaras, unflinching faith in Krishna is established and all material desires cease. So this is, you know, what we generally, you know, the platform of a Shakti, a Shakti leads to Rati, or, you know, the seed of Baba, pure love. So, you know, that platform, there is Santa Ras. Devotees, you know, attain Santa Ras, you know, which means that they have these qualifications, they Sama, etc. That their mind and their senses are completely detached and undisturbed by the material world. And their mind is thus, has no deviation from fixing on Krishna. You cannot be undeviatedly fixed in Krishna, which is Santa Ras, if the mind is deviated by the material energy. See? So devotees attain Santa Ras on, you know, like that. They move through Santa Ras. You have to move through that. You Dasya Ras has the qualities of Santa Ras. You actually have to develop those qualities in order to get to Santa Dasya Ras. So therefore we're understanding also this Dasya. It has these qualities. So then, these specific characteristics of Santa Ras, unflinching faith in Krishna and cessation of all desires which are not connected with Krishna, are common to the other rasas as well. Just as sound is generally present in all other elements, air, fire, water, earth, because it is produced from the sky. Similarly, these two characteristics of Santa Ras are present in all other transcendental relationships such as Dasya, servitorship, Sakya, fraternity, Vatsalya, paternal affection, and Madhuri Ras, conjugal love. So we're interested in Santa Ras because we have to attain that in order to attain Dasya Ras. Yeah.
Otherwise,
how would he have Kama Mishra Bhaktas? If somebody's just completely detached, generally then they can move to Dasya Rasa Prashanta. Then he would have pure devotee straight away, isn't it? Well, devotees who fulfill the verse of 14:26, Bhagavad Gita, they're always engaged in devotional service, somehow or another, something, and do not fall down, they're engaged, they can say, yes, that devotee is performing dasya, as Prabhupada acknowledges, yes, they're fixed up in as servants of Krishna. There's another category of dasya, where the consciousness is on a much more deeper level of realization, deeper and more permanent. As we see, some of the devotees that Prabhupada attributed to be on the platform of Dasya fell away from that platform. But there is a platform of Dasya where devotees, you know, can be remain fixed permanently. So, you know, it's a much deeper, you know, sustained level which devotees move through on their way to their, you know, that they may remain on that platform of dasya and go to the spiritual world, you know, that, or they're moving through there on their way to sakya or atsalya or like that, you know. But they're not going backwards. It's a much more deeper sustained level of dasya, and we're sort of in these conversations we're seeing, you know, the Some characteristics are there within both those who attain the first category of dasya and the second category, And then some deeper levels, more permanent, are there just within the second categories. But these conversations help us to understand, you know, those lower beginning. So, now, we may go 5 minutes over time. Thank you. All right. The natives are getting restless out there. Hey, Krishna. Is there someone waiting?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. Just tell them I'll be 5 minutes. Now, Prabhupada goes on. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Active interest in Krishna, the understanding that Krishna is mine, or that I am Krishna's, and that therefore my business is to satisfy the senses of Krishna, is typical of a higher stage than neutrality of the Santa Ras. Simply by understanding the greatness of Krishna, one can achieve the status of Santa Ras, in which the worshipable object may be the impersonal Brahman or Paramatma. So there, Prabhupada, that Santa Ras, they may stay on that platform. Worship of the impersonal Brahman and the Paramatma is conducted by those engaged in empiric philosophical speculation and mystic yoga. However, when one develops even further in Krishna consciousness or spiritual understanding, he can appreciate that the Paramatma, the Super Soul, is the eternal worshipable object, and he surrenders unto him. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapadyate, Bhagavad Gita 7.19. After many, many births of worshipping Brahman and Paramatma, when one surrenders unto Vasudeva as the Supreme Master and accepts himself as the eternal servitor of Vasudeva, he becomes a great transcendentally realized soul. At that time, due to his thick and thin relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth, one begins to render some sort of transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the neutral relationship known as Santa Ras is transformed into Dasya Ras servitorship. So, you see, we come to Santa Ras, but by progression, appreciation of Krishna, then it transforms into Dasya. On the platform of Dasya Rasa, the greatest quantity of awe and veneration of the Supreme Lord is exhibited. That is, in the Dasya Rasa, the greatness of the Supreme Lord is appreciated. It should be noted here that on the platform of Santa Rasa, there is no spiritual activity. But on the platform of Dasya Rasa, service begins. Thus, in the Dasya Rasa, the quality of the Santa Rasa is exhibited, and in addition, there is consciousness of the transcendental taste of service. So that's what transforms it. It has all the qualities of Santa, but they're tasting the transcendental service. And transcendental qualities are certainly present in Santa Ras and Dasya Ras, but beyond these, there is another quality, confidential attachment, which is pure transcendental love. This loving confidence in the Supreme Personality is technically known as Visramba. On the platform of Visramba fraternity, there is no sense of awe and veneration towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, in the transcendental fraternal relationship known as Sakyaras, there are three transcendental characteristics: the sense of greatness, the sense of service, and the sense of intimacy without awe and veneration. Thus, in the Sakyaras, the relationship of fraternity, the transcendental qualities are further increased. So as we see, there are two types of dasya. There is sort of a beginning stage, which is transcendental. and that transcendental state is very, very important, because the devotees are engaged in service, pure devotional service. Their ability what happens is that pure devotional service brings them to the point of Santa, and quickly then, you know, can transform into Dasya Rasa like that. Because the yogis and other transcendentalists don't engage in service to the Lord, it doesn't transform. It doesn't have the same rapid progress into, you know, rasa of various, higher and higher qualifications. So the principle of service is extremely important in both attaining santa and then moving through to, what we consider the minimum level of rasa, and that is dasya. Like that, it quickly pushes us to that point. But the yogis can't. They may not even ever get to dasya, and they may not even attain Vaikuntha. Some may. So, I'm going to finish with a couple of quotes from the Hari Bhakti Kalpa Larika. The santa devotee is without any personal tie of love with Krishna. In the heart of the peaceful santa devotee, the realization of Krishna as a supremely great being, Parabrahman, and the supreme soul, Paramatma, is strong. In santa ras, there is only the realization of the spiritual nature of one's relationship with Krishna. Whereas in dasya ras, there is the greater realization of the nature of Krishna as the master possessing full divine majesty. In the dasya mood, there is exuberance of the realization of God as the possessor of controlling power and great dignity. The servitor, by his humble service, gives constant pleasure to Krishna. In dasya, there are the characteristics of santa and also the specific activity of servitude. Therefore, dasya possesses these twofold qualities. So we see that one of the things Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita is he not only establishes that you have a relationship with the Supreme, but the Supreme is... as it describes here, the Supreme is the master possessing full majesty of power and control of everything. So there are many people, who understand, we have a relationship with the Supreme. The yogis even understand, yes, we're connected with the Supreme, but the understanding that he is the master of us by his transcendental energies and opulences, that is not developed. So, but in dasya, but when that is, when we understand, yes, I have a relationship with the Absolute Truth, with the Supreme, and he is the master, then immediately we think, I am your servant, Adasya. And if we take up that service attitude fully, never coming to the material platform, then one comes to the, Dasya. One engaged in one of the ninefold processes of pure devotional service, Dasya, and that transcendental position of pure devotion, uttama bhakti, with that dasya mood can transform into other rasas. Because they, like that. Taking up pure devotional service will bring one to the uttama platform where one has complete control of the mind and senses and completely detached from the material energy and completely attached to Krishna. And furthermore, that mood of devotional service will also allow us to come to Dasharati, a permanent platform which may transform into higher rasas. I'll leave you this last quote, again from Hari Bhakti Kalpa Larika. The devotees can become free from the bondage of karma if they mentally offer all their activities to Lord Sri Krishna, constantly remembering him, regularly engaging in his service, not desiring any results, following the orders of the Lord without any material attachment and offering the fruits of all their activities to him. The servants of the Lord are equal to everyone. They surrender their minds to the Lord and engage in uncontaminated, pure activities for his pleasure. Consequently, they do not become bound by the rotes of fruitive activities. The great personalities always endeavor to please the Lord with their bodies, minds, intelligence, senses, and speech. They become fully purified by engaging in religious activities that destroy the bondage of fruitive activities. They serve the ocean of transcendental bliss with uninterrupted love. In this way, the broad-minded devotees cleanse the contamination of their hearts by the great waves of Sri Hari's service. Then they become qualified to make friendship with him. You see, it's that last sentence there. He's described all those things about Dasya, and in his last sentence he says, then they become qualified to make friendship with him. See? The qualification of Dasya qualifies that if you want to make friendship with the Lord, then you become qualified. Not before that. Not before the Dasya. See? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Bandanam. Hey, God, my God. Dasyam, one who's qualified for Dasyam, they can then become qualified for Sakyam. All right, hey, Courtney. Hare Krishna.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, okay, I'm coming right now, just now coming.
Okay. Hare Krishna. What was the name of the book that you were quoting from? Hare Bhakti Kalpa?
Hare Bhakti Kalpa Latika.
Latika.
So, it is. Yeah. Can I explain that? I've got.
Okay.
I'm in big trouble. Actually, turn this up. I've got people waiting. Most importantly, my wife.